Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Heels Podcast Studio inside the Bella Vista Hotel.
Arrow Sports sponsors Sky Blue Stories, and if you have found it hard or it's been hard to find your perfect sports jerseys, never mind. Head to www.arrowsport.com.au. From football to basketball, netball to rugby, Arrow Sport has you covered. Right now on Instagram, catch their latest designs and prototypes at @arrow_sportau.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much. And thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Sydney FC back in the winner's circle on both the men's and women's front in the last 7 days. And tonight you're joined by Sean Maloney and Jonathan Finger to talk you through everything Sky Blue. Sean, hello.
Hey.
Happy days? Are we happy? Pretty good week?
Content.
Content.
Oh, very happy on one front. Very
you're
content.
Hard man.
I'm a hard man to please.
You are. People are getting upset that you're not excited enough. Like,
are they? Who said?
Not really.
I'll fight them.
I just said that. A good week, though, all in all. The girls are absolutely on fire leading into a grand final this weekend, which we had the pleasure of Michelle Morris's company a bit earlier, Sean. We'll chuck that into the pod a bit later on for those wanting to get all the latest on what the expectations are for the grand final. And, of course, the Big Blue, the first one of the season, got a 3-0 result, which is probably about par for the course, I would say, Sean. The way that Victory are playing, it's probably the minimum.
Yeah,
you'd say, yeah. I mean, hey, I'm very happy.
It's just 3 points.
Yeah,
that's all I'm worried about at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. And we need those 3 points to stay in touch with the top six. A few teams have played a few more games than us, but we're in danger of getting dropped out of that top six.
If we lose one or two on the trot, or draw one, lose one, or something like that, and start dropping points, we could find ourselves overtaken by the likes of Western United, or who else is there kind of shit behind us?
I think Brisbane's just there.
Yeah.
But they've
dropped off a bit too. I looked at the table just the other day, and I'm like, fuck, weren't they up the top?
Kind I feel of? Like they're further away from us than Western United. Yeah. But we're on the right track. A couple of games in a week coming up, both at home. One... Again, I'd expect us to do very well in. The second one might be a bit of a battle, but that's all ahead of us in Sky Blue Stories tonight. Sean, why don't you kick us off in the lovely Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel where we are tonight, and tell us a bit about what's been happening around the grounds.
I sat down on Thursday. I went to my lovely Greek barber, Steve and Tonya, over there in Belmore.
G'day, Steve and Tonya. Good on you guys.
Yasu, Tikanis. Kalimera. And Kalimera, yeah. I sat down, opened up the paper, and of course I flipped straight to the back. Sport's more important than anything else.
Of course.
So I read the sport, and Robbie Slater did an article, like a mid-season report card.
Mm-hmm.
And of course my eyes straight away starts looking for Sydney FC, and he gave us, I wholeheartedly...
Did he have his pom-poms out, Sydney FC pom-poms?
Wholeheartedly fucking disagree with Robbie. And if anyone's going to be more biased towards the team, it's going to be me, but roles have been reversed.
I don't know. You're not very biased these days.
Yeah, I'm a realist.
You're grumpy.
He gave us a B. So
this was before the Victory result too.
Yeah, but...
It was before it.
Please, like, if we don't beat Victory, I don't think that should have a great bearing on what grade or not we get, unless we did lose it, so then... But like he gave Mariners A+, understandably. Mm, they're flying, the top of the table. They've gone through all sorts in the last few years. Adelaide an A. Yeah. Melbourne City an A.
Yep.
Yeah, probably at the moment. MacArthur an A-, which is probably first season in.
Yeah, look, their position on the table is pretty good, but the football they play is shit.
Okay.
Table doesn't lie.
Wanderers a B+.
Nah.
What would you give them? C+? C?
C, that. They're terrible. They're a terrible football
team. Perth Glory, a B-. I think that's a little generous.
That's very generous. Yeah. Perth Glory.
Yeah. Brisbane Roar a B minus. I would not be giving them that, especially where they currently sit.
Is B minus pass or well, is C a pass?
I'd say C is a pass. Yeah. It's like so getting
I'd say C for Brisbane.
Western United B minus. Has he not looked at the table?
Yeah.
I would only give anybody a B if they're
they top haven't six. Been terrible.
Jets a D. Okay. Yeah. Yep. And Victory an F. That's
where did we land? Sydney FC?
A B. I would not give us a B.
Neither would I.
No, I'd give
and
us
I'm pretty
a,
biased. You know me. Yeah. I'm glass half full guy.
You're much more the optimist than I am. Yeah. I would give us a C at best. Maybe even by my own Sydney FC standards, give us a D because I'd expect us to see us top two, if not top three at the absolute least. So, yeah, I think a B is incredibly generous, Robbie. He said they have won everything for the past couple of years. We haven't seen near their best. Mm. True, yep. Scoring has been their issue, and you'd expect after losing their top scorer, some Adam Lafondra. Bobo's return, Sydney needs goals. Every game there is a full bucket of chances.
True.
But they can't finish. This tough patch will test their champions. It's very hard to win it every year, and Sydney are finding it, though they have finals experience to remain a serious threat.
I'd be interested to see what the listeners and fans would give us if we put a poll up that said A, B, C, D.
I'd say there'd be C's and D's. I reckon.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if anyone gave us a B.
Yeah.
Or a B minus, anything like that.
Yeah. Well, we did miss our halfway mark. And like I said, this was before the Victory game, so I'm surprised to see him go so high. But anyway, that leads nicely into the next Around the Grounds item, Sean, that you had, which was an article by Vince Regari, which I think I brought to your attention, pointing out some stats.
He's quite a level-headed. He's a big fan of the A-League, and he really wants to see it do well. I think
I like
Vince. Quite a measured reporter or journalist when it comes to the A-League. It goes without saying, we all know that our scoring woes, we're very impotent in front of goal. Costa's been bagged a lot, understandably so. At the moment, we're relying on a 36-year-old who should have been coming off the bench and the odd rotation and start, but now he's finding himself starting just about almost every week now. Certainly he did the other night, and I dare say you will see him start tomorrow night or tonight, you know, if you're listening to this. But in terms of that, the expected goals or XG and that the Opta stats, we are the worst in the league, and we've had the biggest swing from last year.
Yep.
It just shows the massive impact or effect that means Alfie
is,
had.
What that means is, for those that don't know what XG is, basically for every shot they say, is it on target? From that angle, what's the likelihood of scoring a goal? For a corner, you get, you know, 0.1 of XG. For a penalty, it might be 0.6, that sort of thing. So basically what the article's hinting at is that we have the highest XG in the comp, Sean? But our conversion is obviously the worst. Is that right?
Well, last year was 1.1 and now it's minus 10.3. It's a massive swing. Yeah, no is, one has qualified 10.9 and 10.6 respectively with Wellington and Adelaide. But but their change has been positive. Whereas ours was negative.
Yeah.
The only negative ones, Wanderers and Western MacArthur. Well, can't include MacArthur really. In Melbourne City.
It's not surprising. Those stats.
It's kind of telling us what we already know, but it's kind of extra evidence.
Well, it's what we already know, Sean, you and I and Jimmy and most people are aware that we're not in A plus form. We're not in B form. We're in okay form. But I don't know if that message has found its way to Stevie though, to Bimby. He seems to think that we're finding form at the right time. And again, I think this might have been before the Victory game.
Again, yeah, and before the Victory. And that brings me to my next one, Jonathan. Lovely segue. I don't know if you meant that. But look, I take stuff from the SBS World game with a grain of salt these days. They used to be a bit of the oracle with football, but since then they've died in the arse. But just the headline. I know you can't take too much from headlines, but, you know, Bimby's come out and said Sydney FC hitting the form at the right time. Really?
And that's on the back of a draw with Perth Glory, which we should have won 6-1. A loss to Adelaide.
We should have at least drawn and taken a point.
Could have drawn.
Yeah.
And he's saying we're hitting form. That's a bit of a worry, but to his credit, we did win on the weekend.
Yeah, 3 points, but like to say that we're hitting form, if this is a window into what I just don't like, they're not filling me with confidence at the moment, and I think we'll be scraping, and we'll be the West Tigers of the A-League and finishing around the final. 5th, 6th, 7th.
It's always, and like I said, I'm absolutely delighted that we got a 3-0, 3-point away win.
It's always nice to beat the Tards.
But I asked you after that win, do you think if we were playing anyone else, we would have won that game? Or are they that bad?
Are we just talking to the Jets? Maybe the Jets would beat, but
yeah,
they are fucking terrible.
Most other teams, it might have been 1-0, like if we were lucky.
I would have done the Robbie Cruz, toss the armband in disgust. But I feel sorry for the bloke, and I bagged him a fair bit.
Sorry for him. He's a professional.
He made a run 3-4 times forward, and it's just a sea of sky blue, no dark blue around him. And just like, no wonder he got the shits.
He's a terrible
player. Like, there's no leaders in that team whatsoever. Brebner's hanging on just because
they can't afford anyone else, maybe.
But look, it's there was something else in this article that caught my eye, but you know, maybe Corrick is playing ducks and drakes and that positive psychology.
He's good at that.
And that might feed back into the team instead of coming out and throwing anybody smashing under the bus or something like
that. That's your job.
So yeah, that's what we don't get paid for. But I hope he's right, and time will tell, especially over the next 3 weeks. He's got 3 home games.
Yep.
Cogra, Leichhardt, Cogra, I think next week.
I think so.
Yeah, but 3 home games, and a bit like you said.
Leichhardt, yeah, but anyway.
We had a period of 3 home games, which would have been the big blue, but it got rescheduled. If we don't get, you know, near
six,
max.
Six
out of nine at the least.
Yeah.
The next 3
games. They're tough games. We've got Perth Glory, which again we're assuming that we're going to take 3 from, and we have to.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've got City and Adelaide, which will be tough games. Mm. So if we get 6, I think that's a pass. If we get any more than that, that's we've done really well. Yeah. I think. We've done really well. The last around the ground, Sean, which we just wanted to bring a little bit of attention to, unfortunately, the terrible, terrible broadcast of the Sydney FC Melbourne Victory Premiership deciding game.
Didn't you have trouble trying to watch too?
Which was not on Foxtel, which was only available on KO. And
you didn't see a bloke with a trumpet again or tuba.
No. I probably would have preferred to. At least that was a constant stream. I don't know. It looked like an arcade game from the 80s.
Scattered.
It was terrible.
Shimmery images. And then when was it Princess about to take her penalty? And when I watched the highlights back, for those who didn't see the game, you'd be wondering why Princess, we had that pen, but because the footage cut out, it wasn't a part of the highlights package.
Just shocking.
And then Ellie Brush came out, and to compound that, she said on her Twitter, shocking that there's literally nothing in the Daily Telegraph today about the premiership win last night, beating Melbourne Victory 2-1. On top of that, only 2 tiny women in sport articles in 20 pages of sport. Mind you, only one on Australian football. Get your act together, KO, Fox Sports, Foxtel. It's an absolute joke.
Apparently we're hosting a Women's World Cup in 2 years.
You'd think that they would get on the women's game.
You'd think so.
And then to feed into 2023.
But I resisted KO all this time. But for that game, it was only on there. So I'm like, nah, have to get it.
Yeah.
It was free, thankfully.
Really?
If I had to pay for that, I would have been demanding.
How'd you get it for free?
I don't know. They had
was it a
2 week
or week trial?
Don't know. Free content.
Oh, wow.
But if I had to pay for that, I would have been demanding a refund because it was just shocking. It was unwatchable almost, you know, but I kept it on. I kept sort of going back on my phone to try and buffer it because I thought, maybe it's a buffering issue, but no, it was just a terrible.
And they've already had issues months and weeks before, and you think they would have pulled their finger out and made an effort, but it just shows absolute, I don't know, arrogance and contempt for just lack of care and effort into the women's game.
That's it. They simply don't care.
Give a shit.
Which is shocking. Let's move on to our next segment. Thank you, Sean, which is some club and squad news. Start with some sad news.
Courtney Vine ain't Vine.
She's not fine.
We know this already, but I just thought I'd quickly mention, alas, she's done her MCL, which if she'd done it early in the season, we'd see her back. But
is it with 4 to 6 weeks, that's sure.
Yeah, so that'll push into her Olympic season with the MPL girls with Ante again.
Mm-hmm.
But on the plus, as we've talked with Michelle and you've seen there with the victory game and now Canberra just yesterday or on Sunday.
Premiers.
We're still premiers. We're scoring goals. In the last 2 weeks or last two games, we've scored 5, conceded 1. So
yep.
You'd love her back, but we're doing all right without her and so no far. Disrespect.
So far, and in our chat with Michelle, yeah, we sort of talk a bit about the rest of the girls stepping up in her absence, and you know, let's hope that they can bring home that grand final win for both Courtney, but also the other girls that have been injured this year, Lizzie and of course Ellie Brush, who's done an ACL. It's nothing less than what they deserve. The fact that we brought up that Premier's plate, Sean, which we will talk about a little bit later, but Brushy's popping up quite a bit in this week's episode. Record 4th Premier's plate for Ellie Brush.
So she got it at Canberra.
Mm.
3 at Canberra.
Yeah. She so holds that record by herself. It was the 3rd Premier's plate for Sydney FC. First one for 10 years after winning, I think, back-to-back back in the day. So Teresa, obviously the only surviving member of that squad 10 years ago. But it's great for Ellie Brush and, you know, again, wishing her all the best in her recovery.
A couple of those articles I put there in the run sheet, you know, Ante's, we've got the most inexperienced, got the youngest side to ever win the W League Premiership. And Ante has done an incredible job of recruitment, focusing on homegrown talent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which I guess, you know, his hand was maybe kind of forced because of COVID. But the girls have done an incredible job, you know, bringing Courtney Vine over from, where was she, Wanderers beforehand?
Yep.
And she was not getting a lot of game time, gave her an opportunity. She took it with both hands and she hasn't looked back despite her MCL. But, you know, the average age of the girls are 21, 22. Like they're babies in a sense, but they're playing like, you know, old heads, especially some of those, you know, Nat Tobin, only 24, going on 30. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So all the best of luck. And we'll talk more about the, you know, I'm sure over the course of the pod and as we heard with Michelle, that will be snuck in here into the pod about the incredible efforts of the women. And please get on top of them, figuratively speaking, and get to the game on Sunday.
100%.
It's 3 Sky Blue games that you can see in 1 week. Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday.
Outstanding. I'm planning on being at all 3, Sean.
Mm.
So that's club and squad news. Before we get into a nice review of our NPL guys and A-League team, let's do another regular segment, Sean. That's right. It's Jimmy's favourite segment, Danny Townsend's favourite as well, he's told me, and I'm pretty sure everyone else's favourite segment, Sean. It's a trip down Middleby Lane. What happened this week in Sky Blue history? A couple of things. Not a huge trip down Middleby Lane, Sean, but this week in Sky Blue history, 16 years ago, the one and only Dwight York arrived in Australia to discuss terms with Sydney FC to play as their marquee player in their first ever season of the A-League. Pretty significant meeting, I would dare say. This week,
yeah, rocked up in the Ferrari and the bling.
Or did. And was it on the books of Birmingham City at the time, but not getting much game time?
Were they EPL at that stage?
Yeah, I think they were. Oh, I'm fairly sure they were. I should have checked the show. Where are they now? Stats. Championship.
Yeah, down with QPR.
Yeah. Riley McGree's playing for them, I think.
Is he?
But they're not doing very well. They're actually fighting relegation last time I checked. What else happened this week? This week in Sky Blue history, a couple of days after the Dwight York news came out, the assembled Sydney FC squad actually left the UAE for a pre-season tour, Sean, to play just their, I think, third, fourth and fifth ever games together as a squad. And around the same time, Anthony LaPaglia, star of Without a Trace back in the day.
And remember that Lantana. Show? Lantana. Yeah, great movie.
He was announced that he was an investor of Sydney FC, paying around $800,000 for 7.5% of the club. So that worked out. I did some quick math. That worked out to be about $10.5 million. The Sydney FC license was valued at.
So that feels like, you know, pocket money.
A little bit. I mean, I think MacArthur and Western United paid somewhere between 14 and 16 million for theirs. So a bit of inflation there, but not too much. So that's a bit interesting. I remember seeing LaPaglia. They did a charity game or something before a game at Allianz, and he put the gloves on and stood between the sticks.
Yeah.
They tried to get a bit of a celebrity game going, which was good times. This week in Sky Blue history, 14 years ago, as a part of Sydney FC's inaugural ACL, Asian Champions League, campaign, a game against Indonesian club Persik Kediri was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch in Indonesia, Sean, and they tried to no super soakers, vacuums, vacuum cleaners, trying to soak
actual
the water
vacuum out. Cleaners.
That's what looked like them. Yes, didn't work surprisingly.
Indonesian ingenuity
didn't work surprisingly, and the game was delayed until the next morning. And it was an absolute cow paddock, and Sydney lost 2-1 to an Indonesian side, which these days you might excuse. Back then, I don't think Indonesian football was at its height of its power.
The other IPL,
Should have won, and if we had, history would have been very different, because Urawa went through that group with us by a point or two, I think, and only the top team went through that stage. So, and they ended up winning the Champions League. But
Seba,
that were the days. Seba, 12 years ago, club legend Sebastian Ryle announced as a Sydney FC signing from Melbourne Victory.
My favourite player to come from Melbourne Victory.
Absolutely. And a Sydney boy, and the rest is history. He's in the top six or seven all-time appearance getters.
Like a hot knife through butter.
Seb Ryle, we miss him.
I got so excited. Was it last year or the year before? He signed for Olympic. And I was like, oh, my God.
We should have asked Buster. We should have asked Ryan Grant what he's doing. Maybe he's happy sort of being out of the spotlight a bit.
He's had his few demons.
Yeah, exactly. But a historic occasion nonetheless, 12 years ago, the club announcing the signing of Seb Ryle. Only more recently, about 5 years ago, I just picked out a game, Sean. Sydney dismantled Perth 4-0 at Allianz Stadium. Milos Ninkovic making Dino Djulbic look silly for about the 15th or 16th time. And Felipe Losco scoring and also receiving a red card in the last game of the regular season, 15-16. Sydney were already confined to finishing seventh and missing out on the finals, but a precursor to what was to come in the next season. So that was a good way to finish that game.
Couple of birthdays though, Jonathan.
Couple of birthdays. One unsung former Sky Blue, Mark Robertson, played with the Socceroos a handful of times. He'll be 44 this week. Happy birthday to Robbo. His son Alex could hold the future of the Socceroos in his hands. Currently on the books of Manchester City, absolutely tearing it up for the under-18s. But with a grandfather, I believe, actually his dad and grandfather played for Australia, but have Scottish roots. His mum has, I think, Peruvian roots. And yeah, he could also obviously play for England growing up there. So he's got his feet in several camps.
There's a possibility of four options.
Four options, correct. Yeah, Scottish grandparent, Australian born possibly. Grew up in England and mother has South American roots. So
pick Australia.
Yeah, let's COVID. Let's hope so. He's doing pretty well, but again, only the under-18s level at this stage, but doing very well.
He could still get a start for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other one is, if you'd asked me how old he was, I probably wouldn't have said only 26, but Hadži Gligor.
Feels older?
I would have thought so. Yeah. I would have thought so, which means he was playing for us when he was, you know,
a 20, baby.
Yeah, 19, 20, which makes sense. But currently running around with Olympic again.
I don't know if I saw him on the starting sheet. They played They lost to Mount Druitt on the weekend 2-1, I believe.
Yep, yeah, you're right.
I don't know if I saw him on the starting.
Yeah, okay.
Because no, in the middle, you've got Brendan Chalaki and you've got Madonis out on the right.
Strong lineup.
Yeah.
Strong lineup.
Despite the loss.
But that's all she wrote this week, Sean, in A Trip Down Memory.
Still working on an intro.
I get the feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, I get the feeling that my intro's not coming.
It's in a work in progress.
Can you get a live band in to play it one night on a pod?
I'm just trying to think of the right song. Like, I'm thinking Memories, like Barbara Streisand, like The Corners of My Mind.
I'd still like a Western.
Is there another good like rock song or like, you know, you're one of your soft rock bands that you like? Like Air Supply or something like that.
Yeah. Disturbed.
Oh. Yeah. Down with the Sickness.
Sounds of Silence.
No, that wouldn't work.
No. Just work on it.
Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend.
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway.
Anyway.
Let's get to this NPL sad news, but that's two on the trot the boys have lost. 2-0 loss at Cromer to Manly United. Quite a decent side this year, but props to Fulton. Oh, a banger of a goal from outside the box. I don't know if you saw it, Jonathan. Like, I'd take my hat off despite him being in the other colours.
Yeah.
It was an incredible strike. But despite the 2-0 loss, it was some good combination plays. So Gigic and Kucharski had a lovely combination in the 27th minute. Around that edge of the 18-yard box towards near the Manly United clubhouse.
Yeah.
Only for the keeper to deny it. Tommy Hewitt-Bell, I've had a little bit of, you know, critique towards him because I think Pavlicic and even Levi K may be the better goalkeeper, but he pulled out some amazing saves.
Yeah. Showed why he's the number two.
Yeah. Just a few minutes from half time. Lovely little tip over crossbar from a header. Another point blank save. We had a couple of late chances and we were pushing for a win or pushing for, you know, trying to get a goal or two back. But alas, it wasn't enough and Manly showed enough class to, which I believe might have been their first or second win of the season.
No, Manly are undefeated, top of the table. They have three wins and three draws.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting confused with Sutherland. That's
three
right.
Three wins, three draws.
They're even above United now.
Yeah, they haven't lost. United got absolutely pounded on the weekend.
Oh, against who?
Northbridge.
Northbridge.
Jake Holman put on a show.
What was the score? How did I miss
5-1.
How many did he score?
Oh, I can't. Oh,
did you just say
you're asking too many questions. We're
now, not prepared enough.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't think they were travelling that well.
No, they're not. It's an extremely even season, the NPL. Every team's got a win and we're only six rounds in.
Yeah, we'd be fitting maybe fifth or sixth at the moment. I reckon we'd be sitting
we've
around.
We dropped down to eighth.
Fuck off.
But we've got two wins and a draw, so we're not doing too badly.
Arpia are doing pretty shit.
Yeah, Arpia are last.
Yeah.
Who's
second there? Who's second United, last, I should say?
Oh, stop asking questions I don't have the answers to, Sean. Jonathan. For God's sake.
Pretty even. Olympics doing all right. Mount Druitt doing all right for a, you know, team you wouldn't expect them to be doing that well. I guess Northbridge would be travelling okay then. And
so just to go back to your earlier question, Northbridge were 5-0 up at halftime. Holman had two. Moody Nadja had one. And is it Michael Ruse? He's on the Northbridge. He's on the MacArthur books as well.
Yeah.
He also got a brace. All in the first half.
Jesus Christ.
Five. Away from home as well as at Edenza. So that was a bit of a shock to the system for Sydney United. But our boys, look, again, Manly haven't lost a game. So not an embarrassment by any means, Sean. And again, the challenges that they face, chopping and changing the starting lineup, having players come in, come out, using it for match fitness such as Callum Neuenhoff.
Yeah, I saw the... I saw that like NPL New South Wales are following on Instagram. They had like that typical team shot when you got like five or so squatting down below with the five or so standing up above. And I saw Callum's face. I went, are they using an old photo from one or 2 years ago? But no, he's on the team sheet and played, I think, close to like 30-odd minutes or something like that. But so then I got worried that he wouldn't be playing the victory game. But maybe it was Bimby's idea to get a bit of minutes in his legs so he could come on and play, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's interesting. When you pointed that out to me on the weekend, I just thought, well, yeah, what's going on? But you're right, it must have been match fitness. Must have been a match fitness
thing. Look at Wollongong coming second last.
I know. That's the other thing.
Premiers or minor, whatever it was the other year.
It's fairly even. It's fairly even split. The boys take on Sutherland Sharks this weekend. Sutherland struggled last year. They pulled out. They pulled out the year before they even were sort of towards the bottom of the table. This year they're one win from six, two draws to sit 10th. It's a game that hopefully, Sean, we can have some progress in.
Should get back into the winner's circle.
Yeah, and it'll be needed. I think Jimmy Van Weeren and Kelly Cross, they don't tend to go on losing streaks too often. So to be two in a row, a lot of the younger boys are getting promoted into the first team or on the fringes. So like I said, the disruption for them must be extremely tough. Mm. But I think we should get the W for that one.
Yeah, I think so too. I'll call it a 2-0 win.
I'll say 2-1.
Okay.
I'll say 2-1. Fair. Let's talk about the main event. Can I call it that? The main event, the Big Blue A-League game last Sunday night, Easter Sunday night, down in Melbourne at Amy Park, the Seagull's Nest. Sean, you've said solid 3-0 win. Goals to Bobo,
you disagree
Costa,
with that?
And ABJ. No, I think, like I said earlier, I think that's great. It's acceptable. But if it had only been 2-0 or 1-0, I would have been disappointed.
Conceded one, you know, yeah, 3-1, I just, I'd be like, ugh.
Especially given the events in the first half. But let's go through in some sort of order. The lineup sprung, absolutely no surprises.
You
Sean.
Did that post.
I may have tweeted that out. I was just pointing out that it's as expected. Stevie's not changing anything. But as I said, if we didn't get a 3-0 result, let's be honest, all he wanted was a win. Mm. If we didn't win or show significant signs of you know, that we were going to win that game, I think a few players could have found themselves on the bench in future matches. Because let's be honest, this is the worst Melbourne Victory side that's ever
even worse played. Than last year.
Worse.
Yeah, that's saying worse. A lot, and they came last.
Second last, yeah. This is the worst Victory
or
side
Central
ever.
Coast.
And so, yeah, I just wanted to put that out because I'm like, yep, as expected, but if they let him down, that had to be their last chance. And thankfully, they didn't.
Oh, you'd think so, but then we've done poorly with the likes of Costa and Ritter, and they still find themselves in the starting lineup. But
it was the last chance.
Yeah.
It was the last chance.
Well, we had a fourth-minute lovely little bit of lead-up play, and Costa held it up and played it, you know, across the edge of the 18, and Braddon just said, you know, here we go, power up, and unleashed a beautiful shot. Had the keeper beat, but hit the post and pushed out. I love when he does that, Braddon, and he does have it in his locker.
He does. He absolutely does, and he's proved it in the Champions League and, well, from that free kick in round one, a bit different, but he absolutely does, and if anything, you want him to do it a bit more often. It then wasn't, as we moved through the game, Sean, it then wasn't until the 28th minute where Adama Traore turned back the clock a bit for him and took on a few would-be Sydney FC defenders and cut inside with a terrific shot.
A rocket
off his left
shot,
foot,
yeah.
Which you thought was Redmayne probably had covered, but he had to stretch for it it turned out to be a world-class save.
Fingertips, pushed it onto the post.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The reverse angle of that blew me away at just how perfectly timed Redder's jump was. And I'm hoping that, you know, again, he's been building confidence the last couple of weeks, I think, with some decent performances after some wobbles. And that save's got to fill him with absolute confidence.
And that was their only proper decent shot opportunity on goal. I think Cruz had one or two very impotent soft shots on goal that Redder's could have saved with his eyes closed. But I guess things started kind of really turn in our favour and when Elvis left the building.
He did. Are you lonesome tonight?
It's in the J House Rock.
He's just he's just.
Do you think that was legit, proper, should have been sent off? I know some people on Twitter and the like said, I can kind of understand, you know.
No.
He went for the ball. Yes, it was a bit high, but he wasn't expecting McGowan to be behind his back, more or less.
No. Destroyed McGowan's beautiful face.
Awful.
Steph's going to be upset. Harry Potter. Steph's going to be upset.
All he's got is his looks.
and then absolutely trod on, who was it? Who did he tread on?
Retre.
Paolo?
Yeah, took a chunk of his ankle. He's left the imprint
that
there.
They were both absolute letter of the law, yellow cards. There was no arguments for that. It was interesting, if anything, that the ref didn't call a yellow immediately when he took McGowan's head, and the assistant referee had to go up. But right decision. Look, if anything, again, Elvis Kempsover is a pretty average footballer. So
they didn't lose too much.
I don't think they lost too much, no. But it did – I wouldn't say it turned the game because I think we were on top.
Yep.
But it allowed us that extra time and space in the lead up to the first goal
shot. Oh, there was a beautiful goal. Lovely combination play with Caceres and Costa, my new favourite player.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely little – on the edge of the – towards the right. The keeper's left the edge of the 18-yard box and played him in.
I don't know if it's insulting to us – or not, but it was like an advanced training drill.
Mm.
Like
you know, when they start on cones and have that movement.
Pass and move. Yeah. But Caceres was wonderful. And as you said, Sean, the ball from Costa, it's showing glimpses of form, recapturing that run and that ball from him. It's what he used to do every week.
He's playing out wider.
That's correct.
Yeah, rather than being that target man in the middle. And Caceres, like he had... He had a semi-assist for that goal, putting Costa through. Key pass and fast forward to the key pass to Costa for his goal. But then Boba had the easiest of tap-ins. It was lovely.
It was, yeah. I think, how did someone describe it to me? It might have been you, Sean. It said it wasn't so much as a tap-in. It was just he stood in the right place.
Yeah.
Like,
he nearly scores tap-ins, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Tap-in merchant.
And then fast forward to what I just mentioned, into the second half.
So 1-0 at half-time. 1-0 at half time. I wasn't watching it live, but I was following the scores and I just thought, only 1-0?
Yeah. 2 should have been right.
But anyway, it didn't take long until the second one came along.
Caceres just, you know, he darts around the edge of the box looking, lurking for something and they just absolutely dropped their marbles and left Costa absolutely free and they're all barking for the offside.
Was it the left back that was keeping him on?
Yes. Yep, towards the sideline. And then beautiful finish by Costa. Like, I've been his number one critic. Lovely finish across the keeper down low into the corner.
And Matt Acton, again, in terms of goalkeepers and what they've been doing to us lately, he had a decent game.
Mm.
He made some good saves.
Then we had the moments later, that scramble in the box. Costa, it was a little bit of a clusterfuck there in the middle. Costa's kind of found the ball. He's tried to stab at it, push it, hit the post, and then came out. Bobo chipped it, crossed it over for Grant to then header it, and then who cleared it off the line? Butterfield cleared it off the line. Did you see McGowan? He's kind of gone. He's there at the at the goal line. He's kind of gone. Yes, it's fucking going in, and only for Butterfield to come in and header it away.
Yeah,
celebrated early there, Ryan.
Did. Wouldn't be the first time. Some really good chances, and we probably should have, again, converted a couple, Sean. We had some reasonably early subs as well in the game, which was nice to see. Vanovic and Balmyohan coming on. Pat Wood eventually, and then Callum Neuenhoff even ABJ got for 20 Ninka. Minutes.
Yeah. And Benny Wallen.
Yeah.
Came on for King and, you know, we've always been a big fan of Joel, but we've said for a little while now he could do with a spell.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, and I think especially leading into three games in, quick 7 days, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to have to, if Zulo's not fit, which again, I think I saw someone comment, has his calf fallen off? Or like,
another
is
week.
He getting a transplant? Because he's not named in the squad yet again. But yeah, I think some of those subs were made with an eye on this week coming up.
I hope we see Callum. He finally got minutes.
He did.
He's alive. He exists.
He did, and he had a brilliant run around the outside of the...
A few little stepovers. Again,
I won't even call it Melbourne Victory defence. They were just training markers. Yeah,
like witches' hats.
Yeah. But that's what he adds. He looks forward. He always looks to play forward. If there's space,
Retro doesn't do that enough.
He'll move into it. It's the difference between the two, right? And if we're looking to play a bit more of a positive brand of football, he's got to start. But we'll see. Hopefully there's a start for him in one of the next two games. The third goal came, but not the way that we would have thought, Sean. It was a
very strange. Very strange penalty. I'll take it. Take it every week. But I wasn't... You know, firstly, what's his face got basically hit in the balls or in the gut there by that Bratton trying to go for another belter. Pushes off to Bratton's right, and I think it was ABJ that was, trying to run for it, and he just held him back in the box, and then he kind of got away from him.
Which he's not the quickest bloke.
No. So it was very unnecessary. Like, your team's going to lose. You're down 2-0. What was the point?
Yeah.
Real brain snap.
Yeah. They're not very bright.
Was it me or did I see it right that ABJ kind of said, like, I want this pen? I think there was a little bit of discussion there at the pen. I feel like there was another one, somebody else at the penalty spot with him.
Keeper went the right way, but he chose his spot and finished it well. Nice little celebration.
Yeah, the Adrian Majewski.
We didn't talk about – I like that Balm Johan scored two goals for the club and they've both been at Amy Park against the Victory, and he's done the same celebration. We didn't talk about the reaction to Costa's celebration after the
baby cradling after the arms, goal, which I think is a bit of a shout out to
Tiki,
especially the new one,
daughter born. But it was pretty funny because you could see after he finished it, he sort of went to run towards the boys, and then he's like, "No, I'm gonna run behind the goal." Then there were some projectiles.
Well, he did throw a bit of shade on Victory at the post-match chat with, I think, what's his name, Zamponi, Zappers?
Oh, Zamponi, yeah.
Yeah, I think I was having a chat with him and talking about, you know, his time there at Victory, and he goes, well, they didn't offer me a contract, so I looked elsewhere.
Yeah, what was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So. Exactly. No, that's good, and it will endear him to Sydney FC fans, that's for sure. Speaking of, you said about McGowan celebrating before, Sean, bit of a disallowed goal for him to finish the match off.
He said at the end of the game, he said, like, yeah, I knew it was offside. I was just waiting for them to say so, like, every day.
You've sort of hinted a few times that you 3 points is 3 points. You want to see, I don't know, what do you want to see? What do you want to see, Sean?
I want to see more. Like, we'll take it with a grain of salt. Like, on paper, if someone saw that
from over,
a little bit of, Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
Salt. Saw that result 3-0 against Melbourne. They go, fuck, guys are playing well. But in context, Melbourne aren't playing well.
Mm.
They're pretty shit. Their coach has got no idea. They've got a few injuries, Rojas in the stands and the like. They had 10 men. It wasn't until we had the 10 men did we score a goal. I'm not saying we wouldn't have scored a goal with 11 on the field, but, you know, it took to close to end of first half for us to bag a goal. So, look, I'll take the 3 points, maybe take a bit of confidence out of it, maybe build a little bit of momentum towards tomorrow night or Wednesday night and Sunday and then the following week as well. I think the following Saturday, I think I'm right. Mm-hmm. So, look, let's hopefully what Corrick is saying in that we're moving building and peaking at the right time is actually true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think Perth are a slightly better side than the Victory at the moment, but we'll do a Perth Glory preview in a little bit. Just to close off the game, Sean, your SFCU votes from the Big Blue.
I don't feel our centre-backs get enough love, so... I'll give Wilco and McGowan one each. I think Bratt's had a very strong game because he's been wobbly-ish.
Bit of a return to form.
Two, and I've got two more points. I'll give one to Costa and
I think you're forgetting
and Bobo.
Oh, okay. You've shared them around.
Yeah.
A lot. I have gone Anthony Caceres 3.
Oh, fuck. Thank you for doing that, because I thought he was one of our
I've given
better
Caceres
players on night.
3, Costa 2, and Bratton 1.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I like that you shared yours, though.
It's yeah, nice. Share that.
Yeah. A resounding victory. Let's hope for more coming up. Speaking of the victory, Sean, just very quickly before we get into our W League semi-final and grand final chat with Michelle Morris, the girls wrapped up the Premier's plate
absolutely
last week, and they wrapped it up with aplomb.
Gosh, they've been busy.
They certainly have. A 2-1 win. It was 2-0 until the last kick of the game, let's be honest. I won't call it a collector's item because that's mean to Teresa, but a wonderful... wonderfully executed free kick from just outside the box to put the girls ahead.
Cometh the woman, cometh the captain, cometh the lady, cometh the hour.
Cometh the moment, cometh the woman, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good tweet. You dream of doing that kind of stuff and for her to execute it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Even when I saw her lining it up through the, you know, what looked like a 24-bit cartridge in the KO coverage. I just thought, oh, geez, this is in the perfect spot for her. It was, you know, it was just outside the box. The wall was there. She could aim it for that corner. And it was, you know, one of those ones where you picture it in your mind and then it just happens.
Up over the wall and down.
Yeah, just belted into the back of the net. A wonderful goal. And like I said, Teresa stepping up when it was absolutely needed. Sean, you and I actually spoke to Teresa probably about 12 months, well, maybe 9 months ago now during lockdown. We know from talking to her how much this Premier's plate means.
To show that consistency and who's earned it over the course of the season. So, but as Australian football as it is in this our sporting landscape, there's a game on Sunday that there will really mean the most. And you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't have that first past the post. So,
yeah.
Sadly, you know, it's not like they're playing for Champion League spots as well to finish first or second. So,
yep.
I hate to say it, but that will mean little to nothing unless they pick up the trophy on Sunday as well. But look, what was exciting was that no Courtney Vine, but we still found ourselves with goals, albeit from two set pieces.
It was, and both won by Remy. So Remy, although she's not scoring them at the moment, won the foul for both the free kick and the penalty, which means she's getting in the right positions. And even again in the semi-final, as we'll talk about in a sec with Michelle, you know, getting in the right spots and taking defenders away from others for midfielders to come through and score. So Prinny wrapped up the result in the Premier's plate, really, because victory had to win and we're 2-0 up with not long to go at that stage. You wanted to mention Kyra Cooney Cross's goal, though.
I was
Sean,
fucking sick. I think she's a great player, and Ante, do your best to get her across.
She is,
but she's brilliant. Good. And if we weren't for only taking overseas players for the Matildas camp and games against Germany and the Netherlands and whatever it is, I think you'd find her in the squad. And just watch this space when it comes to Kyra Cooney Cross over the next 2-odd years till the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, a great night at Cromer Park, a historic one for the club, their third Premier's plate. And then that led us into a semi-final against Canberra United. Michelle Morris from the Ladies League, and just of her own volition, joined us earlier for a chat about that game and also the lead-up to the W League Grand Final, Sydney FC's 8th in all. Enjoy. Nearly 12 months to the day, we spoke to the wonderful Michelle Morris, and she joins us again tonight on Sky Blue Stories to talk about all things Sydney FC W League semi-final and upcoming grand final. Michelle, thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks for having me back.
Look, after your performance yesterday at the game, I think you're the only choice, really.
Surprise you have a voice.
No, it's all about using the diaphragm, that's why.
I like a good diaphragm.
You did very well. You did very well. And it took a bit of effort to get people going, but they absolutely responded. What a game yesterday by the girls.
Oh, incredible. I think one of the greatest things, though, was seeing Ali Green score. It was just the best thing in the world. I did tell her that, you know, she comes into Woolies, she'll get a 5% discount.
Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I think she deserves 10. Like,
do you still have check seals?
We do have the check seal.
Put a check seal on her next grocery order so she can walk out there for free, yeah? That's what I used to do.
Maybe I will. Only she listens to this.
Yeah, definitely. The thing I love about Ali is, like, she scores an absolute worldie yesterday, and then today she's just down at the pet shop washing a dog. Like, it's just, she's like normal people. Like,
she's just an average Jane.
That's right. That's right.
They're just like us.
That's right. That's right. But people. But a brilliant 3-0 win yesterday. It wasn't easy to start with. The first half, Canberra came out and were full of running, despite the absence of Michelle Heyman, which I only found out when I got to the game. Michelle, were you aware that Michelle Heyman wasn't playing?
I only found out when I got to the game as well. But I think that was a big it helped us a lot, I think. But it didn't do anything for Canberra. I think if they were missing her and if she was there, they definitely would have gotten, I don't know, one or two goals.
Yeah. I think so. It was a big surprise. And even as a Sydney FC fan, I was saying to Sean earlier, I was a bit disappointed that she wasn't playing because would have been good to see Michelle in action. But
both semifinals have been very lopsided, haven't they?
Oh, these semifinals have been insane. To be fair, I knew that Melbourne Victory would beat Brisbane, considering Brisbane lost two of their best players, Claire Polkinghorne and Emily Gilnick. So they lost a centre back and they lost their striker. Yeah. So, I knew Brisbane wasn't going to come out winning that game. But, you know, I think they did well, all things considered. But, I mean, Sydney was very lucky, I think, as well. It's going to be hard for them against Melbourne.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk through the goals in the 3-0 win yesterday at Kogra. The first one was a bit of ingenuity by Claire Wheeler, Sean. Out wide on the left, and you can actually see Mackenzie Hawksby call for it on the back post, and a beautiful ball delivered over the top.
Oh, it was a lovely volley. Just that nice kind of getting your right leg at that 90-degree angle and just volleying it in. Claire didn't start the season. She had a little bit of an injury, and I thought they'd just keep that three of Taylor, Mackenzie and that Pelias chick that seems she's been around for a little while.
She goes
but Claire's really pushed her way into that starting lineup, into that middle three, which has then pushed Taylor onto the bench. And we haven't seen too much of her. She came on late yesterday, but Mackenzie is that like perfect rotating number eight, drops in there with Teresa, pushes up like a number 10 to support Claire. And
Mackenzie was definitely up for the fight yesterday. The amount of balls that she won was absolutely outstanding. She was a true warrior out there. Speaking of Claire Wheeler, she, like you said, Sean, she's definitely come into her own, into this side later in the season, which has been brilliant. And Michelle, the second goal, I mean, again, Miss Wheeler tried to just absolutely volley that into the top corner. Got a little bit of a help, but a great finish.
Yeah. It was solid. Sometimes I look at these goals and I'm like, it's not going in. It's not going in. And it's like, that JK, LOL, it is going in. I just think the whole team is like that midfield was really well, but played really well and managed to do everything they can to get the ball forward as well. And I think that was the most important part in getting these goals. So. Yeah.
Canberra's press, particularly in the first half, was very noticeable. And like you hinted at earlier, Michelle, it was just they were just missing that end product, which Michelle Heyman would have offered. So to go in 1-0 at the break and then get that second goal, I think was super important. But then Sean, let's hand it over to our guest to describe.
Yeah, walk us through the Ali Green
goal. The Ali Green goal.
If you've recovered since.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Ali Green has been on fire this season. I think we can all agree with that. I think she's played some of her best football. I don't even remember how the ball got through. I think she tackled one of the Canberra players.
She made an intercept right in the middle of the field, like pretty much where you take the kickoff from, which is a little bit surprising being a left back, but she found herself in the middle of the field.
And then she's running up the left wing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I'm talking to myself here. I'm like, Ali, just take a shot. And then Ali Green hears me, obviously.
Obviously.
She hears the Michelle Morris coming through.
The telepathy.
And she goes, you know what? I'm going to take this shot and make Canberra look like fools.
Put it
on her weak foot, on her left foot, She absolutely smashes one in to the top corner. There was no way the keeper was going to get it.
Nah, no keeper would have
got it. The celebration, limbs, scenes. It was wild.
It was fantastic. I've actually described it myself as one of the best Sydney FC goals in history. I don't think it's a stretch.
Very questionable gif of her on Twitter when she proclaimed herself. She said, I wish I'd taken it more seriously, but she didn't think she'd get a goal, so that's why she took the piss with the glasses on.
So good.
I'm glad that she got a goal. I'm glad that, like, if she's going to get a goal, it's going to be, you know, an absolute worldie.
Absolutely. It was, like I said, I don't think I'm overstating it. It's one of the best goals I've ever seen live. The way that she just took control of it and backed herself and popped it into the top corner.
She took that and she knew it was going in.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least the way that she took it.
And what I found most interesting is with Courtney Vine missing now the last couple of games, I thought we might have lacked goals and lacked options for goals, but the three goal scorers on the weekend, you had two midfielders.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah.
I think looking at the stats earlier today, we've had 11 goal scorers in the W League this season. 11.
Oh, wow.
The only regular starter, apart from Jada, not to score is Charlotte McLean. So she'll pop up in the grand final, I think.
Yeah, she'll bag a brace.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we've only conceded 11. I think Rowdy put, we've only conceded 11 from 12 games. So for a team who lost Alana Kennedy and lost Lizzie Ralston, for then a typical centre mid and Nat Tobin jump in and then lose Ellie Brush and then Charlotte McLean plays in there and then we get Natasha Pryor for a team that's conceded little to nothing. That's pretty fucking impressive.
Natasha Pryor, since she's played the last three, we haven't conceded a goal. She absolutely stood out for mine yesterday. She was an absolute beast in the defensive line there, Michelle. What a player that we've picked up so late in the season.
Oh, 100% agreed. Even her game against Melbourne Victory for us to win the premiership, she was unreal. I think she played a really great game. I think at the start she was a bit nervous or, you know, maybe we're still kind of working into that role, but throughout the rest of the game she was just solid. It's a really solid defender that we have there, and I think it's a great signing. And hopefully we keep her for next season as well.
And what have you thought about Rachel Lowe kind of taking on that Courtney Vine role out on the wide right?
I think she played well yesterday. I think, you know, obviously Courtney Vine has been insane for us this season, and what a shame to see her out for finals with an MCL injury. But I think Rachel Lowe really stepped up and, you know, played well.
You wouldn't put it in Lyra Toby, just slot her in there at all and push a beanie further out wide.
Sean's a big Lyra Toby fan.
I'm a big Lyra Toby fan, and she's a fantastic player, but she gets, what, like 5-10 minutes each game?
I'm just so, I don't know, maybe it's because I haven't seen Toby play much, but I'm not really sure what, like,
she's more of an out and like out nine.
Player.
Yeah.
Because obviously she tends to come on for Remy, and that's quite late in the game usually, and then she's not really able to do much at that point. So I don't know, maybe it would be nice, maybe next season, give Remy a bit of a rest and have her play. But
speaking of giving Remy a rest, did you see her face when her number went up to be substituted, Michelle?
No, I didn't. Was she upset?
She gave the Borussia stare to the bench. She she wasn't impressed, but it just goes to show sort of how hungry she is for a goal. You know,
I did message her after the game, and I, you know, said congrats on, you know, making grand final.
Yeah.
And she messaged me, and she was saying that, you know, oh, really wanted to get a goal, but he's hoping next week. So
yeah, she'll step
up. She really wants that goal. Yeah.
She'll step up for sure. Yeah, it's been 3 weeks now, I think, so she's she'll be absolutely chomping at the bit. Let's talk about next weekend and the grand final. Sydney FC's 8th grand final. Quite an incredible record.
4 in a row.
4th in a row. All for Ante, okay. I think Ante's 4th in a row.
That was the lost the one at Melbourne City because of that fish lock.
Yes.
Primarily.
Yep.
And then we won.
Yeah.
At Cogra, and then we lost last season during COVID to City.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know what I'm saying?
We're due.
Yeah.
We're due. We're absolutely due.
We are due.
Look, we beat them only a week and a half ago, I think it was, at Cromer Park. That was a tough game, and again, it took two set pieces for us to actually get on top of them. I thought we deserved that win. It's going to be a different makeup, I think, in the grand final. Not only because it is a grand final, but you know, they would have learned a few lessons from that Cromer Park game. And Ante and the girls are going to have to be absolutely on their game to make sure that we bring this one home and hopefully correct that grand final record. We're 3 from 7. It'd be nice to be 4 from 8. Give Teresa another one.
We need a score first. I think it'll be a lot harder to chase goals if we're down 1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bit of showmanship from Lisa Devanna already. She's sort of playing that, you know, she was in a wheelchair at the airport being pushed by some teammates. So I think she's already playing some mind games there with some of her former teammates at Sydney FC. But look, it's Sunday, Kogra Oval, 4:05 p.m. kickoff. Michelle, how do you see this one playing out, mate?
Look, like you said, I think we need to score first. I think that's the most important thing. Get some confidence in them. Melbourne Victory absolutely smashed it against Brisbane. Mm. But I think this is a Brisbane team that Sydney could have smashed as well, to be fair. If we had them in the grand final, I think we easily would have won that game.
Yeah.
But we've got Melbourne Victory, and I think they need to play smart. And I think the most important thing is not to give away any silly fouls. Yeah. And any silly mistakes, because Melbourne play really well on that. Yeah. And I think, if we can get that first goal and get that confidence running high, then we'll be sweet. But they've got a very good midfield.
Yeah, they do.
Melbourne Victory.
So if let me throw a question at you. If you could rule out one of these players, who would it be? Lisa Devanna, Melina Ayres or Kyra Cooney Cross? Which one would you not like to come up against if you were Sydney FC?
Kyra Cooney Cross, 100%.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
She, if the Matildas were taking Australian based players, she'd absolutely be in that squad.
100%.
Yeah. She's
that last goal that she did against us a couple of weeks ago now,
at Cromer,
nonchalantly, you know, in the 95th minute, was just ridiculous.
Casual.
Yeah.
Casual. It was a bit like Michelle at the Newcastle Jets training ground.
Oh, very much. It was mirror image.
I thought so. which was up on the wonderful Ladies League today.
How do you see the lineup though? Michelle, Ooh. Do you think Ante will just, you know, cut and paste, same three up front with Rachel, Remy and Princess?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to change it.
No, neither do I. Ali Green was hobbling a bit towards the end, but she's assured me she's fine. Just a bit of cramp and some corks. She took a tumble at one stage. I think that had everyone in the crowd a bit worried.
Do we see a surprise Lizzie? Because she was in the squad. She was one of the ins. Do we see? No?
I don't see why he would change the team unless there was a forced change, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we've got – and he's got so much flexibility in that back line as it is. So if Nat or Natasha has to go off, you know, Charlotte will just go into the centre and he'll put Angie on. Yeah. I just don't think that it was really nice to see Lizzie, you know, in the squad, but I just don't see why you'd change. And she was there on the weekend. So was Ellie Brush, and Eliza Campbell and
Courtney,
everyone else,
of course, yeah.
Courtney. So they were all there and they're all definitely a big part of it. So it's, again, it reminds me a bit of the A-League squad. I was saying this to Nat Tobin last week. It reminds me, yeah, everyone just seems to get along so bloody well. And that's, you know, it's a key to the success of the club. All right. Well, let's have some predictions before we let lovely Michelle go. Sean, what's your score prediction for the grand final, mate? Oh.
Sorry,
there's a microphone.
Go that's unprofessional. I'm going to say a win, and I'm going to say 2-1.
Yes, I echo those. I think it'll be a mirror image of the game a couple of weeks ago. I think we'll go up 2-0, and then they'll give us a late scare. It'll be 2-1. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
Damn, we're all on the same page because I was going to say 2-1 as well.
Nice.
Good on you, Michelle.
Get on the tab if that's your thing. Gamble responsibly. And Michelle Morris, thanks so much for joining us on Sky Blue Stories for a bit of a W League Grand Final preview.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
And now that leads us into the future.
It does.
By that I mean our A League game versus us and the Perth Glory tomorrow night, depending on when you're listening to this, 7th of April, kickoff at 7:05 p.m. at good old Cogra Net Strata. We had a very annoying, frustrating, blood boiling, gear grinding result against them the other week.
Well put.
A 1-1 draw over in WA. A Bobo goal.
Lovely in amongst turn
the
and finish.
18th yard box, yep. Turn and finish. A game where we absolutely dominated with a capital D the first half with 1,000 opportunities, Ivanovic and whatnot. There's a couple other blokes.
Costa.
So,
oh, not Costa. Sorry, he didn't play that game. My apologies.
No, baby issues, baby matters. I'd like to think we'll take our medicine, learn our lessons, take the confidence from the victory game, and win. I don't care what the score. I don't care if it's 10-9. I just don't care. I just want to get the 3 points and build some momentum. And like what Bimby's been saying, let's start building momentum and peak towards the finals. So we've hit the halfway mark now. And in this second half of the season, we really need to start kind of stamping our authority in games. And it's not like we haven't been creating the chances. They've been falling for us, but we're just going to fucking put them away, for fuck's sake.
Just win.
Just win. 3 points, couple of goals, concede little to nothing, if that. And just do it. Just do it, guys. I love you. Just do it already. Wednesday night, Cogra, hopefully a decent turnout. It's the school holidays, so, finish at the showgrounds, get your birdie beetle and head on over to Cogra
nice.
At 7 o'clock. How do we see this?
It's, again, we're talking pretty confidently, Sean. I think we're expected to get a win here. Although Perth's starting to get some troops in. They've got Jason Guerrier, who started their last match. They've also got some big German fella, Langkamp, I think his name is, who's starting to start games again. But saying that, look, they're on a pretty ordinary run themselves. Going back through the results, they lost to MacArthur 2-0 on Good Friday. They beat Newcastle 2-1.
Which you'd kind of expect most teams to do anyway.
And it was at home in Perth. They drew with us, which we should have won 4-1 or 5-1. They got trounced against the Western Sydney Wanderers 3-0 at Bankwest. So they've not been on a good run of form.
They can score goals, so they tend to be able to knock in a few goals. And you've got the likes of Castro and Fornaroli and Keogh coming off the bench. Konomidis is nowhere to be seen. But they can't defend for shit.
100%. They've definitely got some threats.
Yeah.
And if Gowser and Wilco and co are not switched on, they could punish us, which is what happened over at HBF Park a couple of weeks ago, Sean, when we switched off and Diego Castro got in behind and Fornaroli tapped home at the back. So it will be dangerous from that point of view, but we should have enough to get the win.
I'm going to call it. Jump to the lineup. I'm going to – obviously, Gowser, Wilco, Grant, because Calvert's a right back, isn't he? I'm going to call that. I reckon he's going to start Warland. I think him coming on late the other night against Victory
was an experiment.
Yeah. And I think Benny did quite well out on the left, and he had a nice little run up the left-hand side and whatnot, and linking with Ivanovic. I reckon he might start him because he's got that – he's a very fucking solid defender, playing typically centre-back. I think we'll find Benny starting at left back. I'm calling it. I know it's a bit of a left field.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. You could be 100% right. It could have been just a bit of a getting used to the positioning and where he wanted to be. Look, again, coming off a 3-0 win, is this the game where Corica says, all right, Callum starts, Ben Wallen starts? Ivanovic or Paddy Wood in the starting lineup. Is this the game, or do you think that he'll let them ride the emotions of the 3-0 win, name the same team, and then maybe for City on the weekend change it up a bit?
City obviously will be the tougher of the two games this week. I think you'll see a rotation of names tomorrow night for Wednesday, and then you'll see that typical standard lineup like we saw against Victory on Saturday. So I reckon you'll see Callum start. I reckon you'll see pairing with Bratton, of course.
I would love to see Callum Neuenhoff go through Neil Kilkenny.
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
Ninko and Caceres. Caceres didn't do himself any harm the other night. Victor, I think he was one of the best on the field, and I wish to have given him an SFCU vote. and then Abidge came on. But gosh, I wish there was space for all three. ABJ looks good.
Yeah. But is that because he's coming on against tired legs?
Possibly. Against 10 men the other night too.
And that seems... Caceres seems to have that spot now, doesn't he? Unless there is that rotation.
Because isn't ABJ finish his contract this season?
I believe so, yeah. It'll be 2 years, I think.
Do you reckon that's Corica going to go like...
Who knows? I mean...
Kind of leave? You're not getting much time, you start looking somewhere else.
I don't know about you, but at the start of the season, I didn't expect Ninko to be playing 90 minutes every week. And he has. He hasn't had much rest at all. He's come off a few times, but not, not with any purpose for sure, because we've needed him. We've been struggling, and he's been the only one with some go forward.
Not bad for 48.
Well, yeah, he's looking good. He's looking good.
How do you see the starting two, from what do you reckon he'll do on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's supposed to be cooler, so I think Bobo and Costa will start again. I really like the way that they started to interact in the Victory game, and again, Costa not necessarily standing too far up the pitch as a number nine, or as a false nine, but dropping back and coming around the sides and into play with the two wide men.
Yeah.
That's his go. Yep. You know, we've been heavily critical, and we're not about to change and say that, you know, we're absolutely delighted with his form. But if he keeps doing that, we will be.
We'll see. We'll see his potential.
And that's his go. So I think there might have been a slight tweak for the Victory game in terms of tactics that might have been coming through. So let's hope that continues. But I think those two will start again. And then I reckon against City, you'll see one of the young boys start.
Like Ivanovic or Pat. Probably more so Ivanovic. It looks like he's kind of leaning more towards Ivanovic the last few weeks, last few games, and then Pat. And then Pat will come and be that impact. Mm. Yeah. Ivanovic has looked all right. He just needs to be better with the finishing, but he's looks like he wants to play forward and got an eye for goal, so just got to work on that finishing.
I think he's best when he takes people on, and he just needs that Bridgestone confidence to to go through. Score prediction for Perth Glory, Sean?
I'm going to say a win. I'm going to say 3-1.
Oh, we're on ESP.
We're on the same page?
ESP tonight.
Bit of telepathy?
Yeah, I think 3-1. Like I said, Perth have got some dangers. Those players that we mentioned, one we haven't mentioned is Carlo Armiento, one of the young boys who came across from Adelaide. He was electric at the start of the year. They've got a couple missing, though. Nick D'Agostino doesn't seem to be in favour at the moment, unless he's injured, he could be. Look... At home, on the back of that win, I think 3-1's a good prediction, and I think that'll happen.
Yeah. We also got a game on Saturday.
We do? Let's talk about that.
5 o'clock at Leichhardt, which I'm actually kind of excited. I will say...
On a personal note?
I can't make the Wednesday night game against Perth because being a good captain, coach, manager, Facebook admin, gear steward... And every fucking other hat and role that I wear for my soccer team.
Kit man.
Everything, kit man. Oh, God, I do everything. Gosh, I get no appreciation, no love. No,
especially, I won't mention him, but, you know, that MO fellow.
Oh, fuck me dead, Jonathan. I know I said to you earlier. And to cap it all off, it was even worse. Mariam, if you're listening, Ultra Football effed me royally. Definitely not sponsoring this pod. Effed me royally today. They're an absolute. They couldn't organise a route in a brothel.
You just gave him a free mention.
No, don't bother, guys. Go to Rebel
Sport.
Or
go to Arrow.
Go to Arrow Sport. Even Paul's Warehouse before Ultra. Go to Paul's Warehouse. No, go to Arrow Sport. Go to Adrian and Bizzano at Arrow. Yeah, so I can't. I won't go to the game, sadly, because I'm a good coach, captain, manager, gear steward, everything else. And I'll be at training. But on Saturday, then you said, Jonathan. You said, oh, Sean, would you be able to make the game? So you got your first game. I went, fuck, I've got a 3 o'clock kickoff, 5 o'clock game. But guess where I'm playing, Jonathan? A block away.
Glover.
Glover Street there against Balmain over on the back of Leichhardt Oval. So I'll rock up in my, would have been my new kit this season, but Ultra rooted me up the bum. And I don't have my gear at all. Thanks, Ultra. You only had 2 months to get it sorted and you fucked me.
You can't say that.
Yeah, you can. I guess I can. I asked for 5 medium shorts because I'm getting the order with the other boys and the other boys in the team, and they sent me 5 large. Anyway, this is separate pod just for the Patreon where I complain nonstop. But yeah, so I'll be at the Saturday game. Anyway, not too much to say with Melbourne. Although they're travelling.
They are. They got away with one this weekend against Wellington.
The Wollongong Phoenix.
Feel for Wellington. They've lost that many games after either being ahead or, you know, dropping a goal late and you know, dropping all the points.
They're playing good football, but they're just not.
They are. They just can't get over the line, the bastards. But
their jerseys look good, though.
They do. They do. And that bubble's open, so maybe they'll get some joy out of that bubble. But, yeah, Sydney-Melbourne City, Saturday the 10th of April at Leichhardt Oval. Tilio got a goal. Our first game at Leichhardt Oval. He did, Tilio time. First game at Leichhardt Oval for the season, Sean. This will be a tough one. This will be a tough one. City in very good form. Their foreigners are in great form.
McLaren as well.
Naboot, McLaren and Noon are playing very, very well.
Yeah.
So... not to mention, you know, those players off the bench, whether it's Luna, Kolakowski's done well coming off the bench, you know, Connor Metcalf in the centre of the park, Curtis Good at the back. I mean, there's
stop it, Jonathan.
There's quality all over the park. I'm going to be my optimistic self and say we'll get a draw out of this one. At a 1-1.
I'm going to say a nil or draw.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'll be unusual. Be unusual for the fixture. But get down there to Leichhardt Oval on Saturday. Support the boys. They're definitely going to need it. Show Melbourne heart, you know. They're not that great. They're not that great. Grand final.
And I'm looking forward to Leichhardt, even though I'm quite happy with Colgrove, but prefer the SFS. But I'm looking forward to that atmosphere that Leichhardt has.
And we're starting to daylight savings now, Sean, so it'll be getting darker a bit earlier these days, which is something we're not used to too much.
Pants, maybe a light jacket.
Yeah, league, middle of the season. So, yeah, it should be a good weekend all around. Of course, as we mentioned and discussed earlier, we've got the doubleheader this weekend. So the boys on Saturday, the girls in the grand final at Cogra on Sunday, and let's hope there's, you know, a really good crowd there for them to bring them
6
home.
Points.
6 points. Maybe MPL, like, yeah. Maybe
6 points and a trophy
and a Premier League grand final trophy. That'd be great. Let's hope so. Like I said, it's been a good week. It's been a good week to be a Sky Blues fan, and hopefully this time next week when we talk to you, it's a similar report card. Thanks, as always, for listening. Thanks to Arrow Sport for giving us these beautiful jerseys, Sean, which I'm wearing.
Looks sexy.
Which I'm wearing right now. Thanks to Michelle Morris for jumping on and helping us with the W League review and preview this week. I'm Jonathan Finger and Sean Maloney.
And I'm Sean.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to everyone again next week.